There's a beautiful legend that's never been told. It may have been known to the wise men of old, how three little children early at dawn, with hearts that were sad, went to where Jesus was born. One could not see, one was too lame to play, while the other a mute, not a word could they say. Yet led by his star, they came there to peep at the little Lord Jesus with eyes closed to sleep. But how could the Christ child, so lovely and fair, not waken and smile when he heard their glad prayer of hope at his coming, of faith at his birth, of praise of his bringing God's peace to the earth? And then, as the light came softly through the door, the lad that was lame stood upright once more. The boy that was mute started sweetly to sing, while the child that was blind looked with joy on the King. Such a beautiful little reflection, such a beautiful little legend, if you will. And I don't know about you, but legends, stories like this often speak to something much more deeper, truths that they want to communicate about life and things that are important about it. And for me, as I reflect on this story with you here today, what comes home to me is that God's most amazing graces are often manifested in humility. The humility of God and his glory, coming to meet the humility of our very beings and transforming them and touching them in incredible ways. We read in the Gospel of Luke today that it came time for the baby to be born. For anyone who's been pregnant, there is a time when the baby is coming. It might be in the middle of the night, it might be in the morning, but it is usually at a time that you are surprised by and you least expect. And so it was for Mary. It came time for the baby to be born. And is there anything more vulnerable than a baby? I can't think of anything more vulnerable. They have to be fed, burped, diapers changed, pampered, they nap and they cry, and then you do it all over again. One of the things that makes babies so lovable is the very nature of who they are. One of the things that I can tell you as a grandparent that I love about my grandchildren is that as they get to the diaper part, and it's obviously needing changing, we can hand the baby over to our son or our daughter and say, here, you go ahead and I'll hold my grandchild when you're all done with that diaper change. Babies are lovable and yet incredibly needy at the same time, aren't they? We read in Luke that the Son of the living God, who called heaven his home, humbly embraced our humanity as a baby. There is no room in the inn, so the baby Jesus is placed in a manger among cows and camels and straws and the desert night sky. Humble and poor, God's Son spends his first night on earth in a barn. Divinity, the most incredible divine being that has ever walked the planet, embracing our humble humanity. And my question for each one of us here today is, do you and I embrace the humility of our humanity? Have you had a humbling experience this past year? Have you had that experience where maybe in the presence of one person, or God forbid, in the presence of a group of people, you said or did something that you wish even at this moment you could take back or undo? You know that moment when as soon as you said it, as soon as you did it, you began to turn red, all different shades of red, and you began to shrink and began to look for some place to hide, but you couldn't find it? Very important moments in our lives. Moments that none of us like, moments that none of us want to experience, but very important moments that reveal to each one of us part of the reality of who we really are. Maybe for some of you this past year, you've come to discover that you struggle with addiction. It might be an addiction to alcohol or drugs, or you can just fill in the blank. And for you to come to that awareness was one of the biggest struggles of your entire life. In fact, with any addiction, the biggest struggle is the person who's addicted is in denial. That is the first big hurdle, to finally acknowledge the reality of what they're struggling with. And I think the same is true for our sin as well. But my hope for you and for me and for each one of us is that as we begin to be honest about what the deepest struggles and shames and guilts and sins of our life are, that we might begin to also experience the grace of God as we turn toward Him and finally begin to acknowledge the truth that we've been running from for most of our lives, and that is, this is too powerful for me. I am powerless. This has me like a monkey over my back, and only You can deliver me step by step by step. And then there's humility of growing old, isn't there? I mean, it's okay to see the doctor every once in a while, but every other day? And then all the procedures, you know, growing old is not for the faint of heart. You know, it's like you're in the hospital and then you're out and you're back in the hospital again. Your parts of your body are hurting and falling apart that you didn't even know that you had. Yes. There's a humility, there's a humbleness about growing old. And again, it teaches us the reality that our very life, part of it is a humility. In fact, I think that's one of the reasons why it says in God's word that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I think the reason why that's in Scripture is God wants us to know that He knows the real deal about us. He created us. He formed us in our mother's wombs. And that the proud and the arrogant and those who always have their nose up in the air really don't know the reality about their life. And the reality is they are really humble. They are made of the dust, loved and cherished and precious, but still called to a profound humility. Are you and I listening to what life is speaking to us, especially the messages that we don't want to hear? Are we open to those moments of humbling that we especially don't see coming and that we feel are great injustices to us? Cardinal Jorge, perceived as a threat by other Jesuit leaders, was summarily fired and sent to a remote location, never to be heard from again. Over the years that followed, instead of plotting his return or his revenge upon those leaders who had so wrongly exiled him, he spent a lot of time in the reading of Scripture. He spent a lot of time in prayer and surrendering himself to God's will. You see, in that season of humbling, in that season of humility, he believed, like Joseph, that what they had meant for evil, God would cause to be good. And he says in his memoirs about that time in his life that it changed him. That as he emerged from that time, he was a different man from when he entered into it. And that there was a deep humility that pervaded his spirit and that was a part of his being for the rest of his life and for the rest of his ministry. A very profound change in him that not only touched him, but would end up touching lives of many other people. By the way, many people know Cardinal Jorge by the name of Pope Francis. And in fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but Cardinal Jorge at the time had actually filed for retirement. I think he was in his 70s. It was time to retire. He put in his papers and he was ready to go on and do whatever retired priests do. And then he was called to be Pope. I find that hilarious, don't you? That is just so God. That is so God. You may not agree with everything the guy does. I don't either, but you know what? That is so God. Because God wasn't done with him yet. Humble and poor in the manger. Wise men from the east who had been studying a very special star in the skies, the star of the kings. Followed that star to the place where Jesus was in the manger, right over where he was. And they came bearing gifts, and they came before that holy place, and they offered him their gifts, and then they bowed before him, and they worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was an exciting night in the Bethlehem area that night, by the way. There was a choir of angels that broke out around some shepherds that were in the fields nearby in our story today. They were just so excited about the birth of Jesus that they weren't going to sleep during this time. They were out praising God, and they said they were singing songs of glory to God in the highest and peace to man on whom his favor rests. And the angel told the shepherds about Jesus. Hell, go take a look over here in this manger at this baby that's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He is your Savior. He is the Son of David. He is the Messiah of the living God. The heavens opened up at the birth of Jesus. And that's what happens when Jesus is moving upon the earth and moving among his people. The heavens open up. And the glories of God begin to stream down and begin to touch people's lives and begin to change them and transform the environment in which they're in. I mean, have you been in the desert before? It's dark. I mean, I remember when I was a Boy Scout, we went camping out in the desert. I love being a Boy Scout, but I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore. I'm telling you, I remember China Lake out in the middle of the California desert. I mean, when it's dark at night, I mean, you hear things going. I mean, there's stuff all over the place. Your campfire goes out, you got a flashlight, but I'm telling you, it is dark. There aren't any street lights or anything like that. It is dark. And in that dark place, in that dark desert, the glory of the Lord shone all around them. There was the light of the Lord coming into that darkness, brightening everything in a mighty and powerful and transforming way. God was just getting started with Jesus. Do you notice a little pattern here? I've noticed a pattern here. Humility and glory. Humility and glory. Can you say that with me? Humility and glory. I believe that we need to be brought in humility before God. We need to be brought in a humbleness before him and before life. First of all, so that we can understand the true reality of part of our nature, and that is humility. But that we also might be prepared to experience the glory of God. The glory of God is so awesome. The glory of God is so amazing. I mean, think of all the stories in Scripture where people experience the presence and the glory of God. Isaiah, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, among a people of unclean lips. Read Daniel, who experienced the presence and the glory of God. He was shut up for about a half an hour. He couldn't say a word. He was frozen still because the glory of God was so overwhelming and so powerful. And in the midst of our humble state, wherever you are right now, whatever is going on in your life, the brokenness that is uniquely yours and mine as well, God isn't finished with you or me yet. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how done you are with yourself. You might be done with yourself. You might say, this is it. I'm done with me. Guess what? God isn't finished with you yet. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And part of where I see the glory of God breaking forth right now is throughout the world. And if you don't believe me, I'm glad. That's okay. Just go and Google it. Google some of the stuff that's going on in Africa, in Asia, in China, especially in countries where Christians are being persecuted for their faith, in the Middle East, and what's happening in Aleppo, the stories that Jamie Treadwell has brought to us. The reality is that as much as the evil and the darkness and the hatred from the pit of hell is breaking forth right now across the world, especially against the beloved of God, God's light is breaking forth. God is bringing together communities of Christians in that place that are an incredible witness to the light and the love of Jesus Christ. What did Jamie share with us? That there are Muslims in Aleppo in the midst of that bombed out city who see the fellowship and the light and the love among the Christians that are there, who have remained there because God's Spirit led them to. And they're coming to them and say, we want what you have. We want Jesus. We don't care what the cost is. We want his glory. We want that light. We want that love. If you can live like that in relationship to one another in a war zone like this and all that we're going through, we know that Jesus is alive. The light of God is breaking forth in the midst of the darkness that is happening right now. It is occurring as we live and breathe here in this moment. And what have I seen in terms of the glory of the Lord that is coming? I believe it's coming upon us. I believe that. Been praying for it for decades, by the way. But for me and some other people, there are just some signs that are beginning to come up that it is soon to be America's turn. And I thank God for that. I'm excited for that. His glory coming to rest upon you. The glory preceded by humility and acknowledging the greatness and the awesomeness of the Almighty and the gift of Jesus and his life for us. The glory that comes and gives us the grace to begin to worship and praise and give him all the honor that's due his name. You know why the angels were out singing that night when Jesus was being born? Because they had to. They were just so excited they had to praise God. Have you ever been at a football game or some other gathering where you just had to get excited? There's no way you're going to stay in your seat. You're going to get up and yell and cheer as that person was running to the touchdown line. Absolutely right. That's why the angels were out singing glory to God that night, because they were so excited about what was going on. They had to tell somebody. The glory of God was breaking forth. Heaven was opening up and coming down to earth. Heaven upon the earth. A heaven that is rooted in love. A heaven that is rooted in reconciliation. A heaven that is rooted in peace and mercy and making things right between humanity and the living God and between one another. Beloved of God, I say to you here today that I believe that God's glory wants to break forth upon us as his people and throughout this land to whoever will say yes from the depth of your heart. And that as God's glory breaks out upon us, God wants us to be a witness to his goodness and his love and his grace in our lives and to share that with other people and to walk in that and to be a blessing in his name. That as you experience the healing miracles of God in your own life and in the lives of others around you, that mercy, that love, that reconciliation is going to spread. It's already happening here. I can tell you about people who right now really should be dead, but they're still alive because of God's healing mercy. I can tell you about a small group of people that were looking to try to reach out to somebody in the area here who was poor and in need and who did that and reached out to a single mother and her son and who gave them one Christmas present each. And it was the first Christmas present that they had opened in years. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what Christmas is all about. I'm still so touched by that. But that's the glory of God breaking forth. That's heaven upon earth. That's his love moving through his people and touching people and bringing healing and grace and power. And so on this Christmas Day 2015, as we end this service today and as you work through the rest of this Christmas Day, my hope and prayer for you and me is that it won't end with a big yawn, with a big, oh, there goes another Christmas that I can forget about. Forget that. I hope that this Christmas is a new beginning for you and me. That's what I'm praying for and working toward and what I feel in my spirit. That the glory of God would begin to break forth upon our lives. That's my prayer for you and for me. That heaven would be opened up and touch our lives in such a way that we would be transformed. As much as ISIS is committed to the kingdom of darkness and killing and evil, God is looking for a people to stand up and be committed to the light, be committed to love, be committed to reconciliation, be committed to the kingdom of heaven here upon earth. Is there anybody in the sanctuary here today who feels that burning in their soul? That's who God is looking for in this moment. It is not time for you as the beloved of God to look for a place to hide. It is time for you to be set upon that hill, the hill of the living God, that manger where the light is breaking forth and the darkness does not overcome it, and the angels are singing glory to God. And so I invite you into my prayer that the Lord has led me to pray ever since I've been on sabbatical the mid part of this year, and it is very simply this: Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.